days remain before the running of this year's Indianapolis 500, but the countdown starts here in the Western Desert today. In fact, only two races take place between now and Indy. This one coming to you live on Wide World, and the Trenton, New Jersey 200 on Sunday, April 25th, which you'll see live on ABC's Championship Auto Racing Series. And on the night of Saturday, May 29th, another first for ABC Sports. From coast to coast, except in the Indianapolis area, we'll bring you same-day coverage of the world's most famous automobile race, the Indianapolis 500. But the story of the 500, as we said, begins here, as the field moves before our live cameras, ready to open the U.S. Auto Club season of 1971. On the first row is Bobby Unser, fastest qualifier in car number two, with a new track record of more than 132 miles an hour. Beside him, Johnny Rutherford, racing in a car with a borrowed engine. He ruined his engine yesterday, thought he wasn't going to be able to race, was able to borrow an engine that was flown in from Detroit at 7 o'clock this morning, and there he is on the front row. In the second row is Al Unser, and Gary Bettenhauser will run down the rest for you. One more pace lap. Starter Shim Malone has not as yet given them the green flag. Although the pace car is off the field, they'll get themselves lined up. So from Phoenix, Arizona, live and in color, ABC's Wide World of Sports is bringing you the Phoenix 150, brought to you by Sears Tyrant Auto Centers, where you'll find die-hard batteries and a complete line of quality tires. By Rise, the lather that stays wet for as long as it takes you to shave. And by the winning team of Command Products for Men, starring Command Dry and Natural Hair Control and Command Tahitian Lime Antiperspirant. As we said in the second row, Al Unser and Gary Bettenhausen. In the third row, the veteran, famous driver, A.J. Foyt in car number nine. Alongside him, the man who won here last fall before our live cameras, 24-year-old Swede Savage, youngest man ever to win a USAC Championship Trail race. The next row will be Mike Mosley and Mario Andretti. Then Mark Donahue, Art Follow, we've got a start. The green flag is down, and it's Bobby Unser leading into turn one. Working with him me this afternoon in the booth, as always, will be the editor of National Speed Sport News, Christine Cunamacchi. And Bobby's picking it up, Chris, right where he left it off in the qualifying.
He's certainly got a fine automobile in that number two car. It's the available Eagle. They have no sponsor, and they're doing well without financial backing today.
Down in the pits, by the way, is our colleague Keith Jackson. We'll be hearing from him as things develop down there. It's Bobby Unser in the lead. Unser is in second. DJ Boyd is third with Johnny Rutherford fourth. And we have three Indianapolis 500 winners leading the race. Bobby Unser first, his brother second, and A.J. Boyd third. A.J., who started in the third row, is moving up quickly. He's won the 500 three times. He's not the only person to do that, but nobody's ever won it four times. And he told me yesterday he really hopes that this year he may change that situation. Bobby Unser, the leader. Al second. A.J. Boyd right on his tail. And then Johnny Rutherford. Those four pulling away a little bit from the field.
We have an interesting engine situation, Jim. And Oppenhauser is leading, and an Oppenhauser is fourth. And between them are two Fords right here. Al Unser.
This is Al Unser and A.J. Boyd battling for second
engine
place.
Cars, and the season this year seems to be one where engines are going to trade victories. Last year was a Ford year, but the opposite started off very fast this year.
Bobby Unser sliding out away from his field at the moment, but that battle for second between Al Unser and A.J. Foyt and Johnny Rutherford still is very much a part of that picture. As you see, that yellow car just a few feet behind A.J. Foyt. There's the leader again on this rather D-shaped track in the Western Desert outside Phoenix, Arizona. 150 miles means 150 laps here. It's a one-mile track. There's the leader, Bobby Unser. And there's the battle for second. Al Unser in the blue and gold Johnny Lightning Special. And then A.J. Boyd in a car of his own design and owning. His chief mechanic is his father, recovered from last year's illness.
A.J. had trouble qualifying him, but the brakes held up on him, and he started further down in the field than he thought he would. He was disappointed with his qualifying run here at Phoenix, a track that seems to always offer Indianapolis winners trouble.
So, you know, I have to bump into A.J. just as I was on my way up, and real champions never use excuses. You know, I said to A.J., I heard your brakes locked up on you. He said, no, that was me. He said, I did it wrong. But Bobby Unser is the leader of the race. And we'll be back in another minute for the Phoenix 150 on ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Trouble on the track.
Car up against the wall between the third and fourth turn. We got the glasses on it, trying to spot the number. It's difficult to see from here. Car number eight, that's Art Pollard. Art Pollard up against the wall. The 43-year-old grandfather who started late on the USAC trail but has put in some real good drives, particularly at Indianapolis. So it looks like Art has had it.
Pollard had a tremendous year in 1970.
And he just below us, down here at the finish line, excuse me, there's another car stopped. Mario Andretti has just plain stopped. And there you see his car. Andretti, who was running in eighth place, is getting another start.
Jim, this is he's stopping outside the pits. Now, this is a violation of a rule. He could be penalized, perhaps up to a lap. But it's also, there's a mandatory pit stop in this race, something this 150-mile event has never had before. And whether or not this will count towards that remains to be seen.
The yellow flag, of course, is out right now. The car's holding position because they have not as yet removed the car of Art Pollard. And you also see Mario still sitting on the track. In fact, are mechanics allowed to come out on the track at all like that, Chris?
I say this is in violation. He should have been behind the pit wall. Apparently, he came by too slowly, and the car stalled. What the technical problem is, I cannot say. As I said a moment ago, there's a mandatory fuel stop. It's the first time a race of this distance has called for that.
Okay, here's Art Pollard's car against the wall, but it looks like they're about ready to tow him out. There's the wrecker on the track. And even at the speeds they're cruising under the yellow, they have to be pretty careful going by that spot.
Exactly. One of the problems here is looking at the pits when they come by in heavy traffic. The other fellow's pretty close. Pollard, incidentally, was one of five over $100,000 men on the USAC Championship Trail last year, with $100,875 in winnings.
Okay, well, as the yellow flag continues out here at Phoenix, we'll go away for a minute, and then we'll be right back on ABC's Wide World of Sports.
What happened?
Well, I was running, trying to race Mario and Mike Mosley, and I'd gotten by Mario, and I was trying to get underneath Mike back there in the number three turn, and pinched it a little too tight and lost it. There was I don't think anything broke. It got away from me.
Nothing broke about Art Pollard.
Oh, yeah. My feelings are a little hurt, and I certainly want to... it's kind of a bad debut for my new owner, Jim Gilmore, back in Kalamazoo, but the car looked like it was going to be pretty racy, and I just didn't quite come through right.
Well, it's a long season. Good luck, Art.
Thank you.
Art Pollard. Okay, Jim.
Okay, that's the word from the 43-year-old racing grandfather, Art Pollard, who was driving the Gilmore Broadcasting Special, which bears a Wide World of Sports sticker on it, which is now in the pits for the day. But the battle for second goes on.
That competition for second, Jim, has sort of closed the gap on leader Bobby Unser a little bit. Unser is no longer pulling away. In fact, the second and third place drivers are moving up ever so slightly on him.
Okay. Bobby Unser out in front, and now we move into the second and third place cars of Al and A.J. Foyt. Now, actually, there has been a previous USAC race this winter. This is the first one in the United States. But the men raced in Argentina a few weeks ago, and it was an official race. In fact, it was two 150-mile races on the same day. Chris, you were down there, and on that day it was Al Unser, just as last year, who dominated everything, wasn't it?
That's correct. He had a very easy time of it after he disposed of Lloyd Ruby, and the pit stops there were the story. Unser's pit crew, headed by George Bignotti, is just beautiful. He gets them in and out. He's got some new gimmickry that we'll see in action here later today, but right now he's being pressured and pressured hard by A.J. Foyt. Incidentally, brother Bobby, who broke the track record with a lap at 27 and 21 100 seconds, took the record away from Al by only 1/100th of a second. The old record was 27:22.
The battle of the brothers here at Phoenix International Raceway. Bobby and Al Unser with A.J. Foyt playing the role of the spoiler up to here. A.J. a couple of times has been apparently setting up on Al Unser, and now as they get into traffic, he could make a move, but it's Al darting down.
Wow.
Getting in a good position. That was tremendous driving right then.
That's what makes people come to auto races, that kind of show, on the straightaway right in front of the grandstands. We have a fine crowd here for promoter Charlie Alexander today.
Okay, pretty soon here we're going to try to get a lap timing on the leader to see exactly how fast the speed is to this point. Bobby Unser, remember, still the leader. Al second, and A.J. Foyt is third. There is the clock going. And we'll try to convert that to miles per hour for you. when Bobby Unser completes this next lap. 28 laps have gone by of a scheduled 150. And remember, this is live coverage coming in today on ABC's Wide World of Sport, the instant that it happens out here in Arizona. Timing the leader, and here it is, 29.2. Converting that to miles per hour. Takes us down quite a way. It isn't nearly as fast as qualifying, of course. 123.288 miles an hour. Again, there's the second place battle. Al Unser and A.J. Foyt still moving through slower traffic.
This hot sun, Jim, has drawn the oil up in the asphalt, and the fall race here is traditionally faster than the spring race. It's really amazing that the one-lap record was broken today in this intense heat we're experiencing.
Okay, well, the racing goes on, and we'll be back in a minute for the Phoenix 150 on ABC's Wide World of Sports. And Keith Jackson, and that's the car of Johnny Rutherford. Remember, he was in the pits just before we left you. He went back out on the track, took one lap, spun in turn one, hit the wall. It wasn't a particularly spectacular accident, but he did dump some fuel and some oil, and the yellow flag came out. Under the yellow flag, just about everybody's been taking that mandatory pit stop, including the two leaders, Bobby and Al Unser. That makes this car, driven by A.J. Foyt, number nine, the leader on the racetrack at the moment, under the yellow. Now, what do you think A.J.'s going to do, Chris?
Well, A.J. has to stop, but the impressive thing about the pit stop was that Unser's pit stop was remarkably faster, or Al Unser's was remarkably faster than that of his brother Bobby. So Bobby fell in the standings, and Al gained the position on him, or perhaps more. So when A.J. goes in, we'll find out just how this lead standing resolved. Right now, Foyt, under the yellow, is leading, but he has not made his mandatory pit stop. But both the Unser brothers have.
I wonder exactly why he would decide to stay out just a little bit longer, because after all, that that green flag could drop and he could get caught here.
We'll have to ask A.J. that. Incidentally, Johnny Rutherford is okay. He was not hurt in that spin where he banged the wall.
Boy, suddenly some wild activity here in Phoenix.
Somebody's got the early season jitters, Jim, as there's a tangle there as they were coming down for the green flag. Boy, now the yellow's out. This gives Foyt an opportunity to stop, and I'll just bet you he takes advantage of it to get his fuel this time.
Looks like the car driven by D. Jones, I believe, up against the wall there in turn four. You can see the skid marks alongside the car. Number 51, D. Jones. Local boy who did not make particularly good this afternoon.
He's from Brownsburg, Indiana. Well, these drivers, it's the beginning of a very busy weekend for a lot of the drivers. A.J. Foyt, both of the Unser brothers, Mario Andretti and Mark Donahue will go up to Ontario, California, to race tomorrow, and Gary Bettenhaus and Ralph McCoy will fly overnight to Reading, Pennsylvania for a sprint race there tomorrow afternoon.
The ambulance is going out on the track. I don't know if anybody was hurt in that earlier collision. It didn't look like it was that hard. It's probably just a safety precaution. Let's get out of the pits right now to Keith Jackson. Keith?
You about ready?
I don't know if Keith can hear me down there. Can you hear me, Keith? Okay, apparently we're out of contact with Keith for the moment, trying to get a little more detail on the fire down there in the pits that involved Gary Bettenhausen's car. The wrecker out on the track to get the cars involved in the accident. And the ambulance, we believe, as a safety precaution, in motion. It is, in fact, D. Jones in car number 51.
Beginning to wonder, Jim, whether or not A.J. Foyt elected to go out in this race with a light fuel load, planning to stop somewhere around the halfway mark. He has had several opportunities now to make that required fuel stop, which he hasn't taken advantage of.
Incidentally, the car driven by D. Jones, the one involved in the crash that they're going to tow away now, is called the Serendipity Special. Can you imagine a car called that in racing even 10 years ago? We're back again at Phoenix, and that is a car driving on the road course in the infield, but he is not doing it as a part of the race. George Snyder has pulled off the track and just found himself a nice highway to drive on to get to the pits. The standings, however, Bobby Unser's the leader, Al Unser second, Sweet Savage is third, and now Lloyd Ruby is fourth. He's moved up from 16th place.
A.J. Foyt. He's had his best successes here at Phoenix.
Lloyd Ruby, another of the veterans at the age of 42 now, but automobile racing, if you check back through the records and through the years, is not really a young man's sport. It takes a good 10 to 12 years to really break into the circuit, usually. That's why Sweet Savage is amazing.
He's done a fine job and is doing a great job today.
Okay, a little bit earlier before the race started, as things are settled down here a little bit, Keith Jackson talked to Bobby Unser, who now is the leader of the race. Let's listen to a little bit of that conversation.
What is it that makes it so tough for a one-mile oval?
Well, it's got a little place we call a dog leg in the back straightaway. It's a turn in the middle of the straightaway, but it isn't really a turn. And you go through there, I think about, we're probably running through there about 165, 70 miles an hour, and it makes it real touchy there. And the first and second turn are real sharp turns, and number three and four turn is a real long turn. So we have a combination of three different types of racetracks here at Phoenix, and I think that makes it real tough.
Everybody seems to think, Bobby...
Okay, we're cutting away from that pre-interview because this is live action. H.A. Floyd is into the pits. And this is no scheduled pit stop. It could, in fact, be the end of the day. A.J. driving rather casually into the pits and looks like he's going to get out of the car. Yep, looks like the run is over for the man from Texas for this day. He had led the race. He had dropped back to eighth place. And now he's out of the car. And the way they're pushing it away, it looks like definitely a wrap for the afternoon. There's a good close-up of one of the great race drivers of all time at the age of 36, A.J. Foyt. Five times USAC national champion and, of course, three times winner of the Indianapolis 500.
He also won the 24 Hours of Le Mans, Jim, a record that no other race driver in the world can match.
That's right. No, he is the only race driver ever to have won the Indianapolis 500 and Le Mans in a lifetime, and he did it in 2 weeks period. Let's go down to Keith now.
Hey, Jay, what happened?
Well, actually, I got back there in traffic after we made our pit stop, and this car is really for Indianapolis, and it's got a real small radiator, and following them guys like that, I just overheated and just got too hot and started down. That's all.
Serious.
Yeah, just run out of water.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim.
Thanks very much, Keith. Well, there you heard A.J. telling you that that car is really made for Indianapolis. And I have a feeling that his whole year this year may be aimed towards Indianapolis. As I said, he told me yesterday, nobody's ever won that one four times, and he really wants to do it in this year of 1971. Well, ABC will be there to watch him, and you'll see it that night, except in the Indianapolis area.
Well, you know, a lot of mileage left to go, and the sun is beating down. And the sun, incidentally, could become a factor within the next few minutes, Jim. It's settling in the west, right at the end of the home straightaway where it tends to blind drivers entering turn one. It'd be very difficult, and if you remember, that's where the problems have developed here at Phoenix in the late hours of racing in the past, going into turn one when the drivers are blinded by this burning, setting Arizona sun.
Okay, we're very close to the two-thirds mark of this race. 99 laps going by out of 150. The leader is Bobby Unser. Second place is Al Unser. Third place, Swede Savage. And we're going to get a lap timing on the leader, Bobby Unser. We got him earlier in the race. He was averaging about 123 miles an hour, which is 29 and some seconds. So we'll be looking for something in that same area. You're watching our clock. It's not official timing, but our men are extremely accurate, so we're sure it's close. Here he comes, headed towards the finish line on this particular lap, the leader, Bobby Unser, of Albuquerque, New Mexico. 28.5, that's considerably faster than he had the timing we had for him the last time. 28.5 works out to 126.27 miles per hour. Boy, that's fast.
6 miles an hour slower than his track record speed, and that's the speed for that one lap. The race average must be quite slow with the many slowdowns we've had, Jim. But he's leading, and he doesn't have to go faster. The old race drivers say the best way to win a race is to win it as slowly as possible.
That's right. 101 laps have now gone by. 150 are scheduled. 102 now, excuse me. Here is the 100 lap standings. Bobby Unser, the official leader. These are the official standings each time. We give them to you as of each 10 laps. Bobby Unser, the leader. Al Unser, second. Swede Savage, third. Lloyd Ruby is fourth. Joe Leonard is now fifth. Gordon Johncock, sixth. Mark Donahue, seventh. Mike Mosley, eighth. Wally Halifax, ninth. And Dick Simon is now moving to 10th. Bobby Unser, of course, will be at Indianapolis. So will Brother Al, who's in second place. And the leader will have to be careful as he moves through traffic, threading his way. And we have a little sports flash for you. UCLA has again won the NCAA basketball championship. They defeated Villanova this afternoon. 68-62 on the score.
I've
got a spin on the race course. Let's see. Nobody got hit in it. The car just slowing down. Car number 99.
Bob Harkey.
That's Bob Harkey, right? But it has again brought out the yellow flag with 104 laps gone by. Everybody has had their mandatory pit stop, and then there's no apparent reason for anybody taking another one, however. They all should have plenty of fuel at this point. Okay, so let's go away and return as we move towards the finish of the Phoenix 150. We'll be back. Officially 150 scheduled here. And they're operating under the yellow flag still from the spin we had a while ago. And people are beginning to ease up a little bit and on each other under that yellow. They're not supposed to. Standing by for one more lap. One more lap, starter Shim Malone tells them.
16 cars are remain from the original starting field. Jim, we've lost several automobiles, and the most notable of which is the car handled by A.J. Foy. This was a chance for the drivers to pull up on their rivals. Now they're starting to accelerate down past the dog leg into turn three. Bobby wants to lose Al before he gets to the corner here. Bobby on, sir. And Al on, sir. Between them have won just about everything Pike's Peak has to offer and every other kind of race as well. And
green
they take
flag
the green.
The green flag is out, and they're racing again at Phoenix. Bobby Unser the leader, Al Unser second, Sweet Savage third, Lloyd Ruby fourth, Joe Leonard fifth, Mark Donahue in sixth position. There are now 38 laps to go, 112 have gone by. There's Unser the leader, and there's Unser the second place car. And all the Unser family somewhere near the pits are having a very pleasant afternoon up to this point. Remember, Al Unser just ran away from everybody last year and winning the Indianapolis 500 in most convincing fashion and then going on to win the USAC National Championship and almost $500,000. Right now, though, Brother Bobby is leading him. But things are getting closer. It's developing into a horse race again. Well, it's an automobile race, what it is, for first place. Coming out of turn four. Headed for the start-finish line again. Bobby leading by about only 50 feet over Al now. You think Al might be setting him up? He's done that before during the last year.
Well, the place to be, Jim, in this stage of a race is in second place because for two reasons. First of all, you let someone else set the pace. You don't try your car. And secondly, the psychological effect of dogging somebody lap after lap. And Bobby knows how capable his brother is as a driver, and he knows how capable that Johnny Lightning 500 Special is that has won all those races last year. The car Al is in is the same machine he used to win the 500 last year and the opening races at Rafaela, Argentina. And in those races, Bobby was in front, too, but dropped out with mechanical trouble. Bobby is under pressure now, and he's going to have to keep one eye in the mirror where Al Unser can keep both eyes in front.
Rays of the sun getting a little more slanty as it starts to drop towards the horizon. In the late afternoon, it's still Bobby Unser leading by a matter of feet over his brother Al. Total prize money in this race is approximately $60,000. About $15,000 will go to the first place car. Here's a look at that elbow in the backstretch again. Just a touch of the wheel force to this otherwise somewhat standard Indianapolis car type track. Just about everybody else is dropping back and holding places. The story is these two cars, the two brothers chasing each other. Under the sun in Arizona, Bobby Unser first, Al Unser second.
You know, if Bobby Unser should win the race, it'll be a rare victory for his chief mechanic, Wayne Leary. Should Al Unser win the race, it will be a record 54th national championship victory for his crew chief, George Bignotti.
There's Al closing in a little bit. Yes,
Bignotti is the number one crew chief in American racing with 53 victories. having passed Clint Brauner in Argentina. They were tied with 51 each going into this year's events in the two-heat Argentine race, both of which were won by Bignotti cars, put him ahead 53-51.
Total prize money on the USAC trail this year, by the way, is going to be $3 million. Hey, there's Keith down in the pits.
The automatic color around the pits right now would be Dan Kearney, whose cars are doing very well. Dan, is there any difference between Swede and Bobby's car?
No, only minor adjustment that each driver might prefer to have his a certain way, but otherwise they're as identical as we can make them.
Bobby's set a new track record earlier in qualifying. Did that surprise you? As you can see, Dan is a nervous young owner. Certainly anticipating that Bobby Unser will be able to hold off his brother Al. Were you surprised that Bobby was able to set a new record?
Yes, I was, because everyone else was pretty far off. So we didn't think the day was good enough, but it was.
What do you think about Sweet's position now and his chances?
Well, I think he's doing a terrific job considering his age and experience. He's certainly proving to be a great driver.
This is not necessarily a young man's game, is it?
No, you must have experience. There's an awful lot to do here. A lot of things to think about.
Dan, good luck to you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith.
Okay, hey, Keith. Thanks very much. The cars come into the pits. Not one of the important ones. It's Mike Mosley in car number four. He's not in contention. In fact, as we said, only two cars really are for the championship here at the moment. It is Bobby Unser, the leader, Al Unser, second. The race going on. 121 laps going by, a scheduled 150. There are the three leaders, and we'll be back in another minute at Phoenix. Well, there's a beautiful general overhead view of Phoenix International Raceway. Again, if you've just joined us, it's a live picture you're watching, and the cars you're watching are those of the brothers Unser, Bobby in first place and Al in second in the Phoenix 150, the first big race of the United States Auto Club Championship Trail in the United States for the season of 1971. The standings at the end of 120 laps, 150 are scheduled, remember. Bobby Unser the leader, Al Unser second, Swede Savage still third, and Lloyd Ruby fourth, Joe Leonard fifth, Mark Donahue sixth, Wally Dallenbeck seventh, Gordon Johncock eighth, Jimmy Malloy ninth, and Dick Simon tenth. A.J. Foyt out of the race. Remember, he led it at one point, but dropped out when he had trouble later on. And the story on Mario Andretti?
He stalled his engine trying to avoid a spinning Art Pollard, Jim, and coasted to the pits, and it cost him a couple of laps to get it restarted, and he's been running well since then, but is way down in the standings. The battle for the lead between the brothers Unser is more than just a brother battle. It's a battle of engines. Bobby's driving an Oppenhauser, Al's driving a Ford, and it's a battle of tires. Bobby's on Goodyears and Al's on Firestones. There's plenty to cheer for and root for among the people in the pits in this exciting contest between the brothers from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, well, with now 24 laps left, 126 have gone by, have we learned anything new about the Indianapolis 500 story that's building from this point on? There's only one more race after this, and of course, ABC will be covering that one, too.
Well, a year ago at this time, Jim, the story was everyone to be competitive had to have a turbocharged Ford. The Oppenhauser engine has been worked on by a lot of people, and the bugs have been gotten out of it, and many more Fords running in Offies, but right now it looks like the Offie can hold its own with the Ford. If Bobby Unser can stay out front, that is going to change the face of the Indianapolis 500, Jim. There will be a higher percentage of Oppenhauser engines than would normally have been expected, perhaps 50-50 with the Fords.
Okay, well, while the race continues here, we're going to show you something. The way the cars started in the field, if you were not with us at the beginning, things got underway rather quickly. Many of you question us later. You say, why didn't you show my favorite so-and-so, even though he is in 23rd place and so forth. But here's the way they all started and the cars that did start in the race. On the first row, you can see Bobby Unser and Johnny Rutherford.
Rutherford's fun and hit the wall, is out of the race. Bettenhausen is out because of a fire in the pits. Al lies second now.
Row three at the start was A.J. Foyt and Swede Savage. A.J.'s out now. Swede Savage is running third. Row four was Mike Mosley, Mario Andretti.
Mosley is just in the pits a little while ago for a pit stop.
Mark Donahue, who started in row five, is still in the race and running well, although not among the top leaders. Art Pollard spun and hit the wall. In row six at the start was Joe Leonard, who's right up there, and Wally Dallenbeck, who's also in the top ten now. On the start, in row seven was Cale Yarborough, who's had to retire for the day. This is his birthday, by the way. He's 31, and as Cale said, 31 and holding.
Right. McCluskey was one of the early retirees today in the number six car.
In row eight on the start was Jimmy Malloy, and next to him was Lloyd Ruby. And Ruby has moved up very well to where he's now in fourth place in the race. Starting in row nine was Gordon Johncock. Alongside him, Denny Zimmerman. Row 10 was Dee Jones, who also spun and hit the wall on the fourth turn, and George Snyder, number 77. Row 11 was Bill Simpson and Bob Harkey. Harkey also went out of the race a while ago. And the 12th and final row is Bentley Warren and Dick Simon. Dick Simon, then, has moved up from the last starting position to 10th place in the race, which is where he stands now. He's kind of an interesting story in racing, too, Chris, Dick Simon.
Parachute jumper, Jim. He's bald. He started his racing career very late in life, and he is a real hot shoe, a little bit frightening on some occasions to some of the veteran drivers who sort of wonder about a young fellow coming in first-line equipment and mixing with them without the experience they had when they made the big leagues.
But there are the brothers battling for the lead, and now that we've documented what has been happening, look at this race for first place. A tremendous race. Al's setting him up. Couldn't get him.
Well, the remarkable thing about this is the track changes as the race wears on, and so do the cars, Jim.
Okay, 133 laps going by, 17 to go. A reminder that this Monday night, March 29th at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, ABC will feature a special presentation of the American Sportsman entitled A Quest for Survival. Kurt Gowdy and William Shatner take a look at the plight of the American bald eagle. Bing Crosby talks about the comeback of migratory birds. That's Monday, the American Sportsman, A Quest for Survival at 8:30. But look at this racing. He got him. Al Unser taking the lead from brother Bobby. Or did he? He didn't quite make it. Nope. Dropping down under again.
It was an unbelievable maneuver on Unser's part. They're lapping Mario Andretti, who was moved to ninth place. And Bobby, with a very bold move, darted underneath him, passed Mario, and saved the car after he bobbled. But it was quite a chance. He was way down out of the groove when he made that pass under Mario Andretti. And now with 15 laps to go, Al had best make his move and make it soon. Al seems to be going...
Bobby Unser still leading in the race, as you see. Al Unser right behind him. It looked for a moment like he might have had him on that turn. He didn't get him, but he could get him at almost any moment. Almost side by side. They go through the first turn. Going to have to leave you for a minute, but of course we'll be right back. And if anything happens in the meantime, we'll get you up to date. Back again, and Al Unser is again trying to set up and take his brother Bobby. Bobby Unser, the leader. Al Unser about a foot behind him. There are going to be 12 laps left in the race in just a moment here. 12 laps left now as they go across the start finish line. Bobby Unser is still the leader, and Al is second. Al, who dominated the USAC racing scene last year, winning the Indianapolis 500, the national championship, and almost $500,000, on this day has to chase his brother Bobby, who has a new affiliation this year, is driving a car for Dan Gurney, an as yet unsponsored car. We're between turns three and four.
Al is almost bumping the back of Bobby's car. Remember last November, the lead changed hands on the final lap here, Jim, and it could happen here today.
You see the story. Two lead cars threading their way through traffic. Bobby trying to hold that lead over Al. Al going low.
And he...
Side by side. Does he have him?
Yes, he does.
He got him.
He does, and he went under, and that's dog leg. He went down low beyond a slower car to go underneath the slower car and get the lead. Bobby chose the outside route and wound up second. Now we'll see what happens.
Al Unser has the lead. The place where he has been most comfortable to be with 10 laps to go. He's been in this spot so many times during the last year.
In each case now, each driver has taken one bold venture. Bobby to save his lead and Al to get it. And each worked. Now Al is pulling away. He's about four lengths ahead of Bobby. But there's traffic ahead.
Okay, and it could be that second place is still the spot to be with nine laps to go. There, by the way, is the whole Unser clan standing on top of their camper in the infield, praying beside the American flag. This whole big family from New Mexico watching the brothers race it out. Among that crowd there was their mother, who always comes to the races. But right now, Al is stretching it just a little bit more as Bobby has to get by a slower car.
That was a costly slower car for Bobby. He lost about 10 lengths there, trying to get by number 51, D. Jones.
Okay, I think we have slow motion of the pass when Al Unser took the lead from Brother Bobby. We'll get that up here in a moment as Albie continues to stretch out the lead. Here is the slow motion of the pass that took place at the third turn. That's the way it happened when Al Unser moved into first place with just about 10 laps to go.
I wonder how surprised Bobby was.
There you see it. And now back to the live racing. It looks like it's going to be kind of difficult for Bobby to catch Al. But Bobby has certainly made a statement here this afternoon on the racetrack that when comes time for the Indianapolis 500, he's going to have to be considered, and so is the other car owned by Dan Gurney and driven today by Sweet Savage, which is in third place. Al just breezing along now as he did all last year in the Johnny Lightning Special, Parnelli Jones prepared car. Parnelli himself a former Indy winner.
The interval between Al and Bobby Unser now, which is quite substantial, points up the one groove aspect of this track, where the number one car, the Johnny Lightning Ford, has so much more speed at this point of the race than the number two car, but he couldn't pass it for so many laps because he couldn't get out of the groove. And that slower car was in the right place at the right time for Al Unser to take the lead.
Next time they pass the line, there'll be six laps to go. Al Unser takes the line again. It's six laps to go as the leader passes it. He's the leader. Bobby is second. Sweet Savage still third. Joe Leonard fourth and Lloyd Ruby fifth. Those are the only cars all in the same lap. The second five, Donahue, Dallenbach, John Kack, and Freddy and Malloy, and we'll be back in another minute. We're back at Phoenix. Soon there will be only three laps to go in the Phoenix 150. Al Unser the leader, Bobby Unser second. And now there are three laps to go. Next Saturday, ABC's Wide World of Sports takes you to Ames, Iowa and Lyon, France for two big events. Iowa State University in Ames playing host to the 1971 NCAA Swimming and Diving Championships. Indiana, led by Mark Spitz, Gary Hall, and Sullivan Award winner John Kinsella, defending their team title. Look at that overhead shot. Isn't that pretty as we move into the final stages here? From Lyon, France, it'll be the beauty and greats of the World Paris Figure Skating Championship. And there we get the white flag. One lap to go for the leader. So it's going to be swimming and World Paris Figure Skating. That's next week on Wide World. But right now the business at hand is this. Al Unser breezing to another victory. It'll be $15,000 more approximately going to his racing team. And it'll be 300 more points for him on the USAC trail. He already had 600. Boy, he's really off to a big lead.
The point fund this year is worth $100,000, Jim.
That's it. The checkered flag. Al Unser has won the Phoenix 150. He's the man to watch. And there's the Unser clan on top of their camper applauding the victory. They have a few cheers left over, of course, for Brother Bobby, who finished in second place.
That's Albuquerque written all over, isn't it, Jim?
That's right. So the winner of the Phoenix 150, once again, is Al Unser of Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the age of 31, astride the world of American automobile racing. Second place going to his brother Bobby. Third place to 24-year-old Swede Savage. And again, we'd say the Dan Gurney cars finished first and third here, with the Parnelli Jones car in second place, or in first place. Fourth place went to Joe Leonard. Fifth to Lloyd Ruby. Sixth to Mark Donahue. Seventh to Wally Dallenbach. Those are the final standings. A few things to wrap up still here. We would hope to get a word with the winner if we have time, but we'll be back in a minute and see.
Well, Bobby was running pretty good. Bobby had trouble there at the last. His engine wasn't running near as good as it was at the start, but I had a lot of problems with my car, too, all day. The temperature was probably about 300 degrees, and I don't know how it's lasted. The only reason it did was because of George Vignotti here, my chief.
He drove a sick Johnny Lightning this time, but next time we'll get that fixed.
All right, George. Man with a big smile, Parnelli Jones. He's tough, isn't he, Eddie?
Oh, I'll say so. I tell you, you know, we had a lot of problems this morning and with the front brakes and everything, and they're still not working right, and under the circumstances, he did a heck of a job.
You bet. Okay, thank you, gentlemen, and now let's go back to Jim McKay.
Thanks a lot, Keith. And just before we leave Phoenix, I'd like to give you a first reminder of a special Wide World of Sports program. On Saturday, April 24th, at our regular time, we'll celebrate our 10th anniversary, a decade of spanning the globe. It'll be a very special program, complete with a song written especially for the occasion. So as we acknowledge the names of the people responsible for today's program, you're hearing some of that song. The executive producer of ABC's Wide World of Sports is Rune Arledge. Phoenix 150, produced by Doug Wilson and directed by Chet Forty. Production coordinator of Wide World of Sports is Dennis Lewin. The program administrator, John Martin. Our associate directors, Bernie Hoffman, Dick Pittenger, and Joe Assetti. Technical directors, John Allen and Gene Affronti.
Wide world, over the wide world.
Tomorrow at 2 Eastern Time, we'll start coverage of the NBA playoffs here on ABC. Our Eastern viewers will see Philadelphia at Baltimore, while in the Midwest and West, we'll feature Los Angeles and Chicago. And at 4:15, the American Sportsman, which also, by the way, will feature a special primetime show Monday night. But for now, this is Jim McKay with Chris Economaki and Keith Jackson saying so long until next Saturday, when we'll bring you the NCAA Swimming and Diving Championship with the World Pairs Figure Skating Championship on ABC's Wide World of Sports. Air travel arranged through and promotional fee paid by American Airlines. American has more 747s flying to more places in the United States than any other airline. It's good to know you're on American.